To God be the glory for the great things he has done. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. Any day above ground at the Christian Charity Church is a good day. We reverence our God and to his Son, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and keeps us. What a tremendous honor it is to be here today to show love and appreciation to two of God's best people. Amen. I haven't found it yet, but I know it's in the Bible somewhere that if you don't like the Mobleys, you won't make it to heaven. It's in there. It's not in the King James Version, but it's in there. I was okay until Sister Mays began to sing. Whoever was responsible for the order of service, I need to talk to you immediately after church. I do not like the setup at all. And that just was not fair. Acts chapter 12, but I do thank you, Sister Mays, because of you and the Holy Spirit working through you, the Lord is taking us a different direction this afternoon. And that came, it was confirmation from what you began to sing. So meet me in Acts chapter 12, if you would. Acts chapter 12. Lord, we bless your name today. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you for this opportunity again to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, dear Lord, we need you to speak. We need a word from you. So many of us are frustrated and fractured and frail because of life. But we know your word can renew us. Your word can strengthen us. And so I ask now, dear Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. I want your people to see you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. I'm going to be reading to you from the English Standard Version. It says, about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. While he's locked up, the church was praying, y'all. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly, and the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did, and he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And when he went out and followed him, he did not know that what was been done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Do me a favor, if you would, look at Pastor Sister Mobley and say, hang in there. God bless you. You may be seated. Have you ever had a setback? Have you ever had things that happened to you that literally shook you off course? Have you ever gone through something that literally rocked your world. You went to bed and everything was fine. But you woke up only to realize that all hell had broken loose in your life. Have you ever gone through anything that discombobulated you? It just kind of took your mind away from where it was supposed to be, shifted your focus from where it was. Isn't it amazing that life can be going well, but one phone call, one visit to the doctor, and everything can change in the blink of an eye? Such is the case with Peter. As a major figure in the large church, here is one who started out with Jesus with such passion and with promise. This is Peter, who the record says loved the Lord with his whole heart. This is the same Peter who properly identified Jesus on the banks of Caesarea Philippi. When Jesus had gathered the 12 there, you do remember he asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they had some pretty unique answers, and some said that he was John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, others Elijah, or one of the prophets. Well, once Jesus heard the replies of these men, he posed another question: "Who do you say that I am?" And it was at that point that Peter tells him, "I'm very dear and I'm very sure about who you are. You aren't John the Baptist. You aren't Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the other prophets. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you remember, if you stop by Sunday school anytime, that Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I will give unto you the keys of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." It was a magnificent ministry moment when the Lord providentially poised Peter to be the leader of the new church. And it was there that our Savior uttered the words, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Listen, let me parenthetically pause and give you this one for free. I think this was a wonderful opportunity that Jesus appointed Peter to do great work, not because Peter knew everything, but because Peter knew the right thing. And I stop by here to tell you tonight, you may be lacking in some areas. You might not know Hebrew and Greek. You might not know all of your books of the Bible. But as long as you know who Jesus is, that's a perfect opportunity for you to be fit for use by the kingdom. Now, fast forward through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you go even further on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 3. The Bible says that they were all in one place and on one accord, and suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind that filled the entire temple where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That's a whole different sermon for a different day. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Bible says that there were those on the periphery of the town who looked at these people and said, "Those folk must be drunk. They must have stopped by happy hour and got a Long Island iced tea. A couple of them must have had a mimosa before they got here. If you sit quiet long enough, I'll call your drink." Listen, somebody had to have a double Jack Daniels and Coke. They had to have some Parrot Bay and pineapple. Somebody had to have some Crown Royal and Pepsi. Have I got down your street yet? Some of y'all had a strong flashback. But it was Peter who stood up and said, "No, these people are not drunk as you suppose, but this is what the prophet Joel said in the last days, that God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." This is what God said was going to take place. Now Peter starts preaching. And when Peter starts preaching in Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that 3,000 people were saved. And now from chapter 2 until chapter 12, that's where we find ourselves now. Peter keeps preaching. Peter can't stop preaching. He keeps preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time you see Peter, he's talking about He's talking about the man named Jesus. Every time you hear him, he's talking about Jesus. Whenever you encountered Peter, Peter was preaching Jesus. Notice I did not say that Peter was preaching, name it, claim it, grab it, have it, call it, haul it, walk around it three times, spit on it, put some oil on it, and it shall be yours. No. Peter is preaching about Jesus. He didn't use any tricks. He didn't use any schemes. Peter is talking about and preaching about Jesus. And that blesses me, because all we have to do, brother preachers, is just preach about Jesus. We don't need tricks. We don't need schemes. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Now, all you have to do is teach and preach Jesus. Peter is preaching Jesus, and it's during this time that he found out that although some people will be thrilled by good preaching, some people will also be threatened by good preaching. Let me tell you this, that you don't have to be doing anything wrong for Satan to bother you. As a matter of fact, when you gave God your heart and the preacher your hand and decided to give your life to Christ, that's when you made Satan's hit list. Peter is preaching and he finds out that there's a player hater by the name of Herod. And now Herod is upset because Peter's popularity is growing. Herod is upset because now they are no longer inviting him to preach Pastor Mobley's anniversary. Herod is upset because his name is not in the call paper. His name is not on the billboard. Herod gets upset, and the Bible says that he kills James. And when he saw it pleased the Jews, he decided to go a little higher and go after Peter. Y'all waiting on me to start preaching. I did that about 10 minutes ago. And this is where we find ourselves now in Acts chapter 12. Peep this out. Peter's in prison. Not only is he in prison, but he's on death row. Not only is he on death row, but the Bible says he's got four squads of four soldiers surrounding him every day. If you did your math, that's 16 soldiers. If that weren't bad enough, the Bible says there were more soldiers at the door. If that weren't bad enough, the Bible says he had chains on his wrist and chains on his feet, disallowing him the movement and the mobility that he needed for such a time as this. Let me tell you all this. Peter's in prison. Not only is he in prison, but he's on death row. Not only is he on death row, but he's got four squads of four soldiers surrounding him 24 hours a day. If that weren't bad enough, there were more soldiers at the door. If that weren't bad enough, he's got chains on his wrist and chains on his feet, disallowing him the movement and the mobility that he needed for such a time as this. Let me break this off to you. Peter's in prison. Not only is he in prison, but he's on death row. Not only is he on death row, but he's got four squads of four soldiers surrounding him 24 hours a day. If you did your math, that's 16 soldiers. If that weren't bad enough, there were more soldiers at the door. If that weren't bad enough, he had chains on his wrist and chains on his feet, disallowing him the movement and the mobility for such a time as this. Let me bless you with this. Peter's in prison, y'all. Not only is he in prison, but he's on death row. Not only is he on death row, but he's got four squads of four soldiers surrounding him 24 hours a day. If you did your math, there's 16 soldiers. If that weren't bad enough, there were more soldiers at the door. If that weren't bad enough, he's got chains on his wrist and chains on his feet, disallowing him the movement and the mobility that he needed for such a time as this. But here's what kills me. While he's in prison, on death row, surrounded by soldiers, the Bible said he sleeps. He's not blowing up Pastor Mobley's phone, asking for money on the books. No, Peter is asleep. And here's what I want you to know today, Christian Charity. My prayer for you is not that you get more money, not that you get a bigger house, not that you get a promotion, not that you get a better car. But my prayer for you today is this. Check this out. That your relationship with Christ is so good that when you leave here this afternoon, you go right there to Blue Ridge, turn left, go down to Longview and Blue Ridge, stop by Church's Chicken, get you a two-piece with a side, go home, eat your chicken, and go to sleep. And I want you to sleep good. I want you to sleep so good until you snore and wakes up everybody else in the house. The Bible says that God never sleeps. So since he's awake, there's no sense in me and God being up all night long. You take your burdens to the Lord and go to sleep. So now my question is this. How is it that this brother can sleep in jail. You want to know how that happened? I'm glad you asked. Y'all asking all the right questions this afternoon. Y'all right with me? I'm amazed, Pastor Pace, that Peter is facing death the next morning. But the Bible says this man is not. He was so asleep until the Bible says that an angel smote him. Now, we don't use smote anymore. That's 16th century Elizabethan English. We don't use that. In other words, the angel stole on him.
That's it. We got it now.
I just had to get hood for a second. I'm in Ruskin Heights. I got to get hood just for a second. Three things and I'm done with you. I'm going to get out of your way. I don't mean to bore you with this Memorial Day speech. Listen. First thing is this. He was able to sleep because of the promises of God. Peter had been walking with the Lord for a little while. He walked with him for 3 years, and he remembered that the Lord said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." All right, I'm going to try it again. Peter remembered. The Lord told him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." All right, I'm going to try one more time. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus didn't say that hell wouldn't come. He just said when hell come, hell wouldn't win. Y'all missed your cue. You missed your cue. You missed your cue. You missed your cue. The Bible is full of promises that should reassure us during our times of trouble. Aren't you glad that we have God's word that tells us weeping may endure for a night? Do I have three people in here that can tell me, but joy comes in the morning? Anybody ever read that he'll keep you in perfect peace? But you got to keep your mind stayed on him. The word of God says that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and for those who are the called according to his purpose. Let me just pause right here. Don't put any money in a meter. I'm not going to be here long. All things work together. Everything's not good, but it all works together for the good. All right, let me put it in your lap like this. Big Mama sure enough knew how to make a real cake.
That's right.
Now, I'm not talking about one of those box Duncan Hines. No. I'm talking about my dear making a cake from scratch. She would take flour. Flour by itself, not all that good. She would take sugar. You really don't want to just sit there and just start eating sugar by itself. She would take a raw egg. Raw egg by itself, just not all that good. She would take milk. Milk is cool with an Oreo cookie, and she put milk in the mix, and some butter and vanilla extract. She would mix. Oh Lord, all that stuff together. Pour the batter in a cake pan. Turn the oven on. Put the cake pan, the batter, the mix inside the oven. She knew how long to let the cake bake. She'd take it out, stick that fork, that knife, that toothpick in the middle to make sure that the cake is done. She knew when to take the cake out. She knew how long to let it cool. She knew when to put icing on it. She knew when to slice it up and serve it to other people. Well, if Big Mama can cook a cake, then the Lord is our good cook, because he takes our pains. He takes our tears. He takes our trials. He takes our tribulation, pours in some love, pours in some grace, pours in some peace, pours in some joy, mixes it all up together, put us in an oven called life. He knows how long to let us stay in. He knows when to take us out because he knows how much we can bear. He knows how long to let us cool. He knows when to slice us up and serve us to other people. And when they get a taste, they say, oh, taste and see. That the Lord is good. He's asleep because he knows something about the Lord's promise. But he's also asleep because of prayer. I'm convinced that this church was not a Baptist church. It was probably United Methodist. Y'all gonna catch on after a while. Lutheran, Presbyterian. Because the Bible says, while their leader was locked up, the church was praying. Now here's what I need you to do. Don't play me. Don't do that. I need you to keep it real with me. If we had come here this afternoon to celebrate their anniversary, and you found out Pastor Mobley's not here because he's in jail, maybe no one in here, but there would be at least one person somewhere. Rather than praying, be like, you know what? I knew he was never good in the first place. From what I heard, he'd been down there stealing them folk money ever since they've been open. Y'all see how Sister Mobley been looking the past couple of weeks? She ain't been happy. She glad he locked up. There would be somebody somewhere. But the reality is, saints of God, that the Lord didn't bless us with the pastor for us to tear him down or talk about him. The Lord never blessed us with a pastor for us to become pseudo Jesuses and decide we're going to have a vote and put pastors out of churches. No. If you want to be a blessing to your pastor, if you want to see your pastor make it and be strengthened, here's what you do. Don't talk about him, but talk to the Lord about him. He was able to sleep because prayer was being made for him. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody in here today who really understands the power of prayer. Is there anybody in here today who really understand that prayer works? Is there anybody here today who knows that grandma said that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right? How many of you know you can pray anywhere? Say anywhere. You can pray in an open field like Abraham, for your enemies like Samson, in bondage like the Israelites, on the battlefield like Jehoshaphat, in the deep like Jonah, on the housetop like Peter, in the bed like Hezekiah, in secret like the disciples, on the street like Jairus, in chains like Samson, in a cave like David, in the Lord's house like Solomon, in the upper room like the 120, in jail like Paul and Silas, and in the mountain like Jesus. You can pray anywhere. You can pray anyhow. Say anyhow. You can pray short like the publican, long like Moses, in silence like Hannah, in distress like Manasseh, bitterly like Ezra. I'm trying to give y'all time to catch up. With your eyes closed like a psalmist, always like Cornelius, in tears like Mary Magdalene, in guilt like David, every day like the church, all night like Jesus, on your knees like Daniel, on your face like the leper, or on one accord like the 120. You can pray anywhere. You can pray anyhow. But how many of you know you can pray anytime? Say anytime, before day like Jesus, in the morning like David, at noon like Daniel, at midnight like Paul and Silas, in your youth like Timothy, in old age like Simeon, in barrenness like Hannah, in trouble like the disciples, in death like Stephen. You can pray anywhere, you can pray anyhow, you can pray anytime, and you can pray for anything. Say anything. For deliverance like the Israelites, for a clean heart like David, for favor like the psalmist, for your children like Job, for wisdom like Solomon, for rain like Elijah, for the sun like Hannah, for God not to take you out like the Ninevites, for healing like the centurion, for forgiveness of your enemies like Jesus, for grace like Paul, for mercy like the lepers, or for salvation like I did. Is there anybody in here this afternoon who knows that prayer will fix it? I'm done. He was able to sleep because of God's promises. He was able to sleep because of the prayer of the saints. And then finally, he was able to sleep because of protection. Let me remind you that you should read your Bible. It'll make you a better Christian. If you read the Bible, you find out that this is not the first time Paul, or Peter rather, was in prison. This was not the first time he found himself in a jam. He's preaching about Jesus. He's being criticized for his preaching, but he stays faithful in the work of Christ. And he was able to rest in Jesus because this was not the first time he had been in trouble. And let me remind you, this is not the first time you've been sick. This is not the first time you robbing Peter to pay Paul. This is not the first time people have talked about you. This is not the first time people have smiled in your face all the while they're trying to take your place. But I want to remind you that our Lord is consistent. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, he is who he was. He was who he is, and he is who he always will be. And I want to encourage you today, those of you who feel like your back is against the wall, I want to let you know that Jesus never changes. That when family and friends forsake you, we have a Father who will be right there for you. And if he brought you out before, what makes you think he wouldn't bring you out again? If he healed your body before, what makes you think that he won't heal your body again? If he delivered you before, what makes you think the Lord won't deliver you again? You just have to stand on his promises and rest in his presence. Y'all thought I was playing. I said, I'm done. He had divine protection. I want you to know today that you don't have to give up. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give over, give under. You don't have to give out, because as children of God, we have too many resources that the Lord has given us. You and I have so much going for us that we should never, ever, never, 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 ever give up. Come here, my brother. Come here. Brother, will you come too, please? Pastor Pace, will you come? Pastor McCormick, you're looking cool. I'm not going to bother you today. My brother's chilling in the cut. He's killing. He's chilling. Yeah, yeah, sun rooftop. And he got the lean, the gangster lean. Yeah. Ooh. Listen, my brother with the pink shirt, will you come here, please, brother? And the one right behind him, will you come here, too? Will you come here, too? Come on, y'all. I haven't eaten. Come on, let's go. My brother right here, will you come here? Come on, sir, right here. Yes, sir, that's you, touching your nose. That's it. Come on, brother. I need you, too. You and I should never give up, because we have entirely too much going for us. Check this out. John 10:28 says that we are in Jesus' hands.
Right.
But then verse 29 tells us that not only are we in Jesus' hand, come on to my left side, that you and I are also in God's hands. Here's another reason why we shouldn't give up. Not only are we in Jesus' hand, I'm talking about protection. Not only are us and Jesus in God's hands, but then Ephesians tells us, come here, brother, put your hands on my shoulders, that we've also been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Until the day of redemption. Not only that, I need you two to get back here. You two, just two of you, get to the back. We are in the Son's hands. And God has us and the Father in his hands. We've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Not only that, but the Bible says we've got angels watching over us. How dare you give up? How dare you want to quit? How dare you want to throw in the towel? Because we're in the Son's hands. And we're in the Father's hands. And we've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. And we've got angels, come here, my brother, watching over us. I'm trying to show you, we have entirely too much protection for us to be crying and staying up all night long. Get on back there, my brother. He said, we're in the Son's hands. And we're in the Father's hands. We've been sealed by the Holy Ghost.
We've got angels watching over us. But then watch this. David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So why you laying up at night crying all night long? You have a reason to celebrate, because the Lord is keeping you. His Father is keeping us. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost, and we've got angels watching over us. We've got goodness and mercy following us. Is there anybody here tonight who can declare, I'm going to stand on the word of God? I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I can't give up, because I've got too much going for me. If you know the Lord is good, lift your hands in the air and say, yeah, yeah. Say, yeah, say, yeah.